message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
We just celebrated our nation's 243rd birthday. 243 years America was born. How many of you had a good July 4th weekend? I guess this is the tail end of it. We did some grilling. I think that's a rule. You're supposed to grill on July 4th weekend. We did that. We were able to get into a pool for a little while. We watched some fireworks. It was a good weekend for us. I hope you had a good 4th. I love America. Amen. And I know you do too. I love America. I don't have a problem with the flag. It's a symbol of unity and freedom for me. And we have a growing population in our nation that looks down upon America. I've got a simple solution for that. But apparently that one's not being taken. Things are good in a lot of places in America. The economy is doing very well. Records have been set as far as unemployment and things like that. More people working. That's awesome. But how many of y'all know there's still some things to be concerned about? Yes. How many of you just worry a little bit, not so much for yourself, but your kids and your grandkids? Yeah, myself. So kind of just want to take opportunity on this Sunday following July 4th just to talk to you about some things just concerning our nation and all that's going on. And just know that you're not alone when you deal with your concerns. Your pastor has his as well. We've got an election coming up in a little while, still a little ways off, but the battles have already begun. How many of you watched some of the debates? I tried. It got boring. Some back and forth on what everybody's going to do. And the debates, the little bit that I saw, maybe an hour and a half worth total of the two nights, kind of reminded me of a junior high class president election. If you'll vote for me, everybody gets free ice cream. Well, if you'll vote for me, you get not only free ice cream, but you get this, and just whoever can give away the most stuff. We've got candidates that want to give reparations, and when it comes to race, we need to give money from here to there and get that all balanced. And somebody else said, I'll see that, and I'll raise you. Let's go ahead and give some reparations to the LGBT, the alphabet group over there. And because, you know, they were getting married before it was legal and they paid extra taxes. We need to make that right. And then somebody says, yeah, that's fine, but what about some education? I want to do some free education. And then how about free health care and free contraception? And why don't we just give everybody free everything? One part of the debate, it was just a simple raising hands answer to the question. And so they asked the question, and it was, how many of you support the giving of free health care to all who would come over to this nation? And I guess that means legally or illegally. And they all raised their hands that everybody should get free health care when they get here. I don't know about you, but I'm not getting free health care yet. Listen, mathematically, you just can't do it. It's just not possible. There's not enough. Something's got to happen. Something has to give. And all it is just people trying to get elected by promising stuff. If you'll do, listen, they don't vote on me here as pastor. I've been voted on indefinitely a number of years ago. To get me out, I either got to resign or go be with Jesus, or you got to get a petition going and have enough people sign it and vote me out. There's not a vote. But imagine if there was a vote next month. I'd come up here and say, all right, listen, guys, if you'll vote me back in, I'm going to lower the tithe to 8%. We're gonna. I tell you, let's bring it down to 7%. And I'll tell you what else we'll do. We'll let you start picking some of the songs that we do on Sunday. And I'll give you this and I'll give you that in order to get your vote. Promising things just to get a position of power. Now, before you think this is a Democrat-Republican thing, I'm going to give you a quote. most of you hopefully will remember this. Ask not what your country can do for you. You know the rest? Ask what you can do for your country. A Republican didn't say that. Democrat John Kennedy said that many years ago. How many of you know that the Democrat of today isn't the Democrat of yesterday? There has been a shift. So it's not about Democrat, Republican. I'm a Christian, and I'm trying to stay in line with biblical values is what I'm trying to do. But I like that quote of Democrat John Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you. Quit asking for all the free stuff, but what can you do for your country? But instead, we've got a group who want to give free everything, cradle to tomb care guaranteed by the government and funded by the taxpayer. It doesn't work. But how many of you, that's where your concerns come in, because you see where we're moving and where we're going. I want to share with you something that I shared with you about 7 years ago, and I want to put it up here on the screen here in just a minute. I'm going to share with you why democracies fail. And first of all, America is not a democracy. We are a republic. I'm not going to explain all of that right now. They're very similar, but there is a difference. We are a republic, not a democracy. Maybe that's why we've made it 243 years, because democracies haven't lasted that long. But we're moving closer and closer to the behavior of a democracy. A man by the name of Alexander Tytler, Scottish lawyer, writer, professor, historian, said this. I'm just going to read it verbatim. A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. And again, we just made 243. He said this in the late 1700s, referencing the Athenian Republic, which had fallen some 2,000 years prior. And then he went on to describe the progression that nations follow during that time period, 220 years. It's known as the Tytler Cycle, named after him, but also has been called the Fatal Sequence. Title of the message is Fatal Sequence, and I'm fixing to put the Fatal Sequence up on the board for you. Go ahead and do that now. This is the Fatal Sequence. Starting over at the bottom left side, bondage. You go from bondage to spiritual faith. That is a good step, amen? And that is what happened with America some 243 years ago. We came out of British rule. We pulled out of that bondage, and we went to spiritual faith. Last week, I think we shared with you, or maybe it was the week before, the children of Israel coming out of bondage from Egypt. We come out of bondage because nobody wants bondage. So we come out of bondage, and we move to spiritual faith, and that's what happened with America. We came out of British rule, and our founding fathers looked to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and set up a new rule, a new system. America has often been referred to as just the great idea. And so we moved from bondage to spiritual faith, a good step. And then from spiritual faith, we move to great courage, because as faith gets strong, it brings good things with it, one of those just being spiritual courage and confidence. And from great courage, we move to liberty, freedom. So we move from bondage to liberty, to freedom. Another good step. We all want to be free and not in bondage. And then freedom, we move from liberty to abundance. Another good step. All of these so far have been positive steps and have taken us in an upward direction. Abundance is good. It's okay to have stuff. It's okay to be blessed. It's okay to have favor. It's okay to prosper. There's an abuse, and we've seen preachers abuse this. And you can go to an extreme that's not in line with God's word, but the Bible says that God has given us freely, or richly rather, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. So it's okay to have things, as long as things don't have you, and it's okay to enjoy your things. But this right here is where things get a little tricky, because the next step after abundance is from abundance we move to complacency. See, this is the pivot point. Because the natural tendency is to enjoy your blessings and forget the blesser. The natural tendency is to enjoy all the things and get caught up in pleasure and then forget the one who made that possible. So this is the pivot point. I remember a preacher sharing with me, he was friends with another well-known preacher, and this well-known preacher was doing very well, traveling the world and on TV and selling books, you know how it goes. And then all of a sudden we see him on TV and there has been a moral failure. And in this case, it wasn't women, it was money. It's usually one of those two, or both. And this is what he said after he repented and got back right with God. He told this pastor, preacher friend of his who told me, he said, I failed the test of success. Many people fail the test of success. They fail the test of being blessed and having abundance and having favor. And they begin to consume it upon themselves, and they begin to just become pleasure-focused, and it's all fun, it's all enjoyment, and we forget the responsibilities that God has given us, and we forget other things, and so we shift from abundance to complacency. You know, most people don't know how to handle a lot of stuff. Most people wouldn't know how to handle a lot of money. I know you could. We're the exception, right? Everybody thinks they are. But you go do a study on those who got rich quick, say won the lottery. Go study them out and see what happened with them. Most of them came to ruin because they couldn't handle the success or the abundance. Most people can't. Our nation has been abundant. We have been blessed. Y'all remember Claudel many years ago, Claudel, worship leader out of Haiti. And we've been to Haiti a few times and been with him, and then we brought him over here. And when we brought him over here, I picked him up, and on the way in from the airport, there was a birthday party going on at the Pearland Park. So I pick him up at the airport at Hobby, and we come right by the Pearland Park. I mean, 45 minutes later, 30 minutes later, we're there at the park, and he's meeting some folks. There's a kid's birthday party, and we're eating hot dogs. You know, it's about 11 o'clock, and then we go and we eat lunch. And then we had to go to Walmart to get something, and there was a table set up there, and they were giving away ice cream for a dollar. Not ice cream, floats. It was a float, ice cream and a, you know, Coke mix. I don't know who thought of that, but it was a great idea right there. Yeah. And so we had a Coke float, and I said, I mean, we just been together about 2 hours. We've already had hot dogs and lunch and now a Coke float. I said, Claudel, this is why we get fat in America. There's just abundance. We have plenty. And I asked Claudel, I said, so what's the greatest thing about America, your position? I thought he was going to say opportunity, because that's often, you know, we're the land of opportunity. But he said this, availability. He said, everything's available. If you need a part for your car and you don't have it in the garage, you can go over here at the store. If the store don't have it, they can order it here and you can have it overnighted or whatever, but everything's available. We are a great land. And we have been greatly blessed. We have moved from bondage to faith to courage to liberty to abundance. But how many of you would say that, like many, we are failing the test of success and we are shifting? Because the next step is not a positive step. We move from abundance to complacency. We become self-sufficient and we become guilty of the sin, get this, the sin, not of murder, not of adultery, the sin of ingratitude. Do you know ingratitude is a sin? It's actually a very dark sin. The sin of ingratitude. Whenever your kids, it's Christmas morning or birthday or whatever, moms and dads, you go and you buy stuff. We were talking about Toys R Us the other day. Y'all remember that place is gone now. And we used to, every year, had to go to Toys R Us to do the Christmas shopping. And, man, I love Toys R Us. That was a fun store. And we do the shopping, and then the kids wake up, and they play with the stuff. As mom and dad, we love giving them the stuff that they would richly enjoy all things. The only thing I really wanted was some appreciation and some gratitude. While you're playing with your stuff, don't forget me. I got you the stuff. God the Father has given us stuff. Don't forget me. The sin of ingratitude. Proverbs 14:34 says this, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach or a disgrace to any people. Did you catch that word, any? To any people. There's this tendency to look at these other, and you know, go back in history and look at this nation that failed, and this nation that failed, and this nation that failed, but we're America. We're going to be okay. It's kind of that mindset that Peter had. Lord, I know all these other disciples may deny you, but not me. I'm your man. Who denied the Lord? The one who said, not me. And there can be that same mindset. Other nations have fallen, but this is America, not us. Sin is a reproach to any people. That includes Americans. So we move from abundance to complacency, and then the downward trend continues. We move from complacency to apathy. We move from apathy to dependency. And this is where many believe that America is right now. Apathy to dependency. And then from dependency, we move right back into bondage. This is the Titler cycle. This is the pattern that nations have fallen into. Democracies have fallen into. I think we've made it longer because we're not a democracy, we're a republic, but we are following this pattern. This cycle is considered the life cycle of a nation, but it can also speak to us as individuals, because we're not going to solve America's problems here this morning, right? We're going to get out at noon and walk out and everything's going to be fixed in America. No. So we've been talking about the nation, but let's look at this now, but think about just you, not America. When you got saved, what happened? You came out of bondage. You came out of slavery, and faith came alive in you, and courage, and freedom, and abundance. And there you are at that same place. Are you going to fail the test of success? Or are you going to enjoy the things and forget about the one who made the things possible? What can we do as individuals to keep from moving back towards bondage? Is abundance really a good thing? If most people tend not to be able to handle their blessings and it causes them to be ungrateful, is it still okay to be blessed? Is it still a good thing? Yes, it is. But what do we do with it? And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. How can we be blessed materially and not let it affect us negatively? How can we have stuff without stuff having us? How can we richly enjoy things without getting so pulled away that we put God in the background? Because none of us here would say, I don't believe in God anymore. We just give our time elsewhere. And we give so much time elsewhere that we have very little left over for the things that matter most. And we become guilty. And we start that downward trend. So how can we be blessed materially and not let it affect us negatively? I'm going to share with you here in just a minute three things to stay on top of the cycle. Three things to continue to walk in God's favor with His blessing while not falling into complacency and apathy and potentially into bondage. Because That's where it leads. Even if you've been saved and come out of bondage, you can end up right back in bondage again. Go right back to the things that you came out of. Peter himself did it. Remember? Remember when he went back fishing? After he had denied the Lord and all that? He went and did what he used to do. All right. That was the introduction. Here's a scripture for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. One verse. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. How about you? I love America, but it's not my permanent home. I want to do my part as a citizen. I want to vote. I want to pray. I want to serve. But it's still not my permanent home. So while I'm in this temporary place, what can I do to enjoy God's favor and not follow that downward trend? I want to give you three things. Number one, be mindful. I'm going to define each one of these, even though you know what they mean. Mindful means to bear in mind or to be aware. I'm going to give you three things under each one of these three things. Don't be nervous. We can't stay too long. Paul's back there with the kids. We got to rescue Paul. Number one, be mindful. Bear in mind. Be aware. First, bear in mind that you did not pick your starting point in life. You ought to bear that in mind. I think that needs to stay at the front of your mind. You're in America. You didn't pull the lever when you were in the womb to be born here. And we've got some that weren't born here that have come here. But for most of us, you started here and you had nothing to do with that. You were born in America, not Haiti. You're ahead in life. And if you are ahead, it's likely that you were given a head start. You had shoulders to stand on. How does this help to be mindful? Well, it keeps me in a good place, knowing that I can't get prideful and arrogant about what I did. I didn't pick my starting point. So be mindful you didn't pick your starting point. Secondly, bear in mind that you are a sheep. Right? The Bible refers to us as sheep. The Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, diligent like an ant, alert like a lion, but you're a sheep. Sheep is not the smartest barnyard animal. I mean, you might want to be insulted a little bit here or offended. If a sheep is in good condition, it says more about the shepherd than it does the sheep. So if you're in good condition, I wouldn't bag about that. That was horrible. I don't know where that came from. That's just a bad dad joke, but I don't care. If you're a sheep in good condition, it's more your shepherd that has cared for you. So be mindful. You're not all that. Maybe you're sitting by somebody that thinks they're all that. Just elbow them and say, hey, man, you're not all that. None of us are all that. Jesus is all that. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, and our condition points more to his goodness over us. So be mindful. You didn't pick your starting point. You are a sheep. And number three, bear in mind, if you have the right answer, in other words, you know who Jesus is. If you have the right answer, you know truth, it was given to you. Matthew chapter 16, we find the conversation between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, who do the men say that I am? And Peter says, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're a teacher. Some say this, some say that. And Jesus said, what do you say? And Peter says, I say you're the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. And Peter says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. In other words, that's the right answer. And because you know truth, and because you know who Jesus is, you are blessed. And then he says this, Flesh and blood didn't give you that answer. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. The answer was given to you. In school, I did pretty well. And even before Jesus, I was fairly honest. The guy that I sat next to, his name was Philip. He graduated second in our class, so he was smart. And I sat next to him. And every now and then, during the test, I'd look over, and he wasn't doing a good job of shielding. And I'd see an answer. I couldn't help it. Wasn't trying to get it. I just see it. Oh, that's the answer. Philip's probably right. Listen, if you're going to cheat off a guy that's smarter than you, not one that's under you. That would say wisdom. I just cheat like crazy on this exam, and I make a 97. It'd be kind of foolish of me to brag about how good I did, because the answers were given to me. If you know who Jesus is and you know truth, you don't need to be arrogant and proud about that. The answer was given to you. It was revealed by the Father. So be mindful of these three things right here. I'm going to give you three things. Number one is be mindful. What are we talking about? How to be blessed, how to have stuff without stuff having you, how to enjoy favor without going over the top and moving into complacency. Number one, you need to be mindful of these things. Number two, you need to be grateful. Grateful defined as simply this: it's an appreciation of benefits received. Immediately, I thought of Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Grateful, appreciation of benefits received. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits." Salvation is your greatest benefit. But how many of you know that as children of God, there's other benefits that come with that? There's other things that have been provided for in the atonement. There are benefits to being a child of God. So three things under this one, under be grateful. Number one, you have much to appreciate. Let me give you the definition of benefit. A benefit is something that promotes or enhances well-being. It's an advantage. Which brings me to the second point under here. You have an advantage. You have an advantage. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and they were mocking and spitting and doing all the things they did to him? I hate bullying. I was bullied some. Woe is me. Most every one of us could raise our hand and say we've dealt with some bullying. I don't like it. And that's why I love shows where the bully gets his. Yeah. Do y'all like those? This just comes to mind, but I remember the Spider-Man show, and all of a sudden he had these powers. Remember the lunchroom scene? And man, when he goes to town on that bully, I'm like, yes, take him out. Well, they were bullying Jesus, and when I read that, I'm like, smash him. God, you have lightning bolts at your side. Just throw some down there. That's not the Jesus attitude, is it? Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They don't have the advantage that I have. Listen, some of the people act the way they act because they don't have the advantage that you have. You have an advantage. You've been given benefits. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights. We have giftings, we have benefits, we have an advantage. And number three under this one, your redemption is your greatest benefit. The Bible tells us to rejoice, not because demons are subject to us, not because of this or this or this, but rejoice rather that your name is written down. The greatest benefit you have is that your name's been written down. You know who Jesus is, and your eternity is secure. That's your greatest benefit. So number one, be mindful. Number two, be grateful. Don't forget him. And number three, the final one, is be faithful. Simply defined, faithful is loyal. three things under this one as well. Number one, do your part. That's part of our slogan around here. Love God, love people, and do your part. That's what we ask you to do. The two great commandments, love God, love people, and then the Great Commission, do your part. What is your part? I don't know. For Teresa, it's leading worship and other things that she does around here. For you, it might be a different gifting, a different talent. Some of you, you teach classes, Royal Rangers, Girls Ministry. There's all kinds of giftings and all of that, but whatever your part is, do it. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That verse tells us that everybody has a gift. You know who gifts are for? Other people. If you have a gift, it's for somebody else. That's what we do with gifts. We give gifts to other people. So if you have a gift, it's for other people. You need to use it. That's why it says everybody's received a gift. Minister it to one another. Serve one another with your gift. Make yourself a good steward. So be faithful. Do your part. Number two, what you do with what you have matters greatly. The parable of the talents, you remember the three servants and the Lord was leaving. The master of these three servants was leaving and he gave them responsibility. He gave one talent to the first servant. He gave two talents to the second servant. He gave five talents to the third servant. He was gone away for a while. He came back and he asked them for an account. The person with five had doubled and got 10. The person with two had doubled and got 4. The person with one had sat on it and had protected it and had taken care of it, but had not invested it. And so he gave it back. Here it is in perfect shape. I took really good care of it. He was rebuked. And the Lord took his one. And here's where the story gets really interesting, because I would have gave it to the one who had 4. Because somebody has 10 and somebody has 4. I give it to the one with 4, now you got 5. But he gave it to the one with 10. Don't want to expound on that too much this morning. Just know that faithfulness brings back more blessing and more responsibility. What you do with what you have matters greatly. Talking about doing your part, talking about using your gift and whatever God has put in you to serve other people. And then the final point under this final point is you are indebted. In other words, you owe something. You owe something. Y'all remember the old song, he paid a debt he did not owe, and I owe a debt that I cannot pay. Is that it? She's singing the rest of it. I don't need the rest of it. She's doing the whole thing. Let's go to the second verse. Here's the thing. You owe a debt. But listen, you don't owe God a debt. You don't owe God anything. He freed you. You owe it to yourself, and you owe it to others to be faithful. That's the debt you owe. It is your reasonable service to present yourselves a living sacrifice to Him. It's reasonable after what He's done for you. To whom much is given, much is required. You are indebted. You didn't pick your starting point. You didn't get the answer on your own. Everything you have has been given to you from Him. No, I understand the work ethic. I understand that. But we're talking about these matters of God and God blessing you and God revealing to you who He is. That is your benefit. That is your advantage. And you are indebted. And to whom much is given, much is required. So real quickly, the three things. If we want to avoid moving from the top of the place, of the abundance and blessing, and falling into complacency and eventually into bondage again, how do we stay at this place at the top, enjoy richly the things that He has given us, and not move downward? How do we do that? Be mindful. Stay mindful. Be grateful. And be faithful. Be mindful of where your blessings come from. Be grateful that they came. And then be faithful. You've been given a lot. So what can you give back? I believe if you can hang on to these three things, I mean really exercise these three things, I believe it allows you to enjoy your blessings. without falling into a downward spiral.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.